Welcome everybody to part two of Mindset with Mr. Steve Sims. Today we're going to be talking about massive changes that happen quickly and then how to prioritize what comes first. So thank you, sir, for your time today. Let's get into how do we respond when massive changes happen quickly?
Actually, I didn't know you were going to ask that question, but it's probably one of the best questions you could ask, especially today. Because we're trying to do things and they don't always happen well for us. And businesses that were slightly weak pre-COVID are crumbling into dust now. One of the big traits I discovered when working with all the billionaires that I was dealing with was they learned when it was time to walk away from what they were focusing on. They learned when it was time to stop. Now, there's too many of us, me included, that have worked on projects and gone, let me just give it a bit more of this. Or maybe if I sink a couple of grand into it, or maybe if I do some Facebook adverts, if it's dead, it's dead. It ain't going to suddenly wake up 6 months later. But we don't recognize that. And we can always look back and, oh my God, how did I not see the signs? One of the people that really astonished me was Richard Branson. Richard Branson gets into things quickly. He gets out of them quicker. When he realizes there's no momentum, there's no traction, he's done. He doesn't give it a second look. It's done with him. His effort's now somewhere else. So what you've got to do is you've got to analyze what you're working on, and you've got to focus on an ROE. Now, for any of us out there that invest and stuff like that, we all know what ROI is, return on investment. An ROE is return on energy or return on effort. And if you're suddenly finding that what you're working on is demanding more energy, but there's nothing coming out the other end, then you've really got to sit back and go, hang on a minute, am I pushing something that's dead already? And it's a tough thing. I remember the first time I was working on a project and I was really getting into it. And I'm a motivated guy. You know, I'm kind of like, yeah, this is going to be the greatest thing. Entrepreneurs, we have to be part childlike, you know, part, you know, enthusiastic about everything and part stupid. We have to just believe implicitly that what we're working on now, this is the thing, you know, because if we don't believe on it, no one else is going to. But there has to become a point that you look and go, it ain't. And I remember the first time that happened to me. And it was kind of this gut-wrenching, kind of like, oh my God, I can't walk away. And then it was almost like a relief, like for any of you out listening, walking away from a bad relationship. And you go, why didn't I do that? Not yesterday, but 5 years ago when the signs were there. So 9 times out of 10, we can recognize when things aren't going right. Something inside us chooses to overlook it. And what do? We throw icing on it. We throw energy on it. We throw effort. And those are the bad things to do. When you suddenly find that trigger starting to happen, stop. I go, hang on. Why do I need to do that? Now, if you've got a product and a marketing, fine. Maybe you've got a marketing issue there. So that makes sense. But there comes to be a time where you have to realize that you're still pushing something that's dead.
That's interesting, because I know there's so many people out there that are going to keep trying and trying and trying. So it's like,
we all do.
You know, when is enough enough, or when do we just give up and move on to something else? So that's really interesting. That makes sense. We just need to look at it. And I love the ROE. That makes sense.
Well, that was my trigger, mm-hmm. You know, it's like, what's another analogy? If you're running a lot and you got bad knees and your knees start to really ache, you can feel a certain pain that says, hey, stop running. Okay.
Yeah.
If you're working on something and all of a sudden you find yourself doubling or trebling your effort, and all of a sudden you end up putting all your energy into something and everything else goes by the wayside. So that was my trigger. I got to recognize, hang on, why is this project taking so much more of my energy now? Is it because it's the one that's going to make me 10 times more than that project? Or is it because this one's dead and I failed to recognize it yet. Mm-hmm. And so that was my trigger that I taught myself early enough on to go, okay, I'm now doing something. Now I need to know why. See, here's something that's terrible. We're good at things that other people aren't, okay? There's stuff, Annette, that I can do that you can't do, Annette. Mm-hmm. And there's stuff that you can do that I can't do, okay? Mm-hmm. You don't recognize it because to you, it's really easy. Have you ever seen an artist just like scribble, you know? Just they doodle on the side of a bloody Starbucks cup. And it's like, oh my God, how do you do that? And they're like, it's nothing, you know? It would take me a year to be able to do, but to them it's nothing. Mm-hmm. And here's the downside. That's the talent, okay? That's the skill set that you can monetize. Sadly, we end up going, oh, I need to plow my energy over into that and not what we're talented or gifted at, because we discount what is easy to us. And we think we're still trapped in a world of hard work is hard. And so we go, well, if I'm, you know, for me to make the money, I've got to be like, I've got to be pushing. I've got to be staying up till 2 o'clock in the morning. You've got to be working smarter. Okay. Mm-hmm. No matter how good and how determined and how focused you are of things that you all need, and we're covering this in this podcast, you need to have recognition and you need to know when to go stop. And that was the biggest trick that I noticed from the people that I were dealing with, how they would literally just get to a point and go, all right, guys, turn the lights off on that project. We're done with that. Now, Johnny, what was the next project we're for? And they were done. There was no remorse. There was no breakup. There was no, like, you know, sitting on the bar, you know, drinking their sorrows away that project had failed. Oh, my God. They were like, no. We just saved ourselves 12 months to realize the exact same thing that we found today. In fact, if we look back, we probably have recognized it last year, but hey-ho. And they just, that's how they work. And that's a really good way of having it.
I love that. I wish the military would do that because we would just work.
Yeah. I work with a lot of people in the military, as you know. And the mindset there is very different. It's also it's very tough for the military, because the military have, you don't need me to tell you this, they have systems and structures that have been in place for centuries. So when they move something, it takes half a century. And it's a very slow moving ship, because every time they move, there's consequences. Mm-hmm. Now, this show is dealing with people in business, mm-hmm. okay? And the people that I deal with in the military, you know, they are now in business. And the first thing I had to do was get them to understand that in business consequence, it's dollars, okay? Yeah. And for every time you fail, and I've got something else on that, you gain education. Mm-hmm. The downside is, with the military brain, if you fail at someone, at something, someone gets hurt, right, or worse. Your consequence that I just mentioned earlier can be final, okay? Right. It's a different set. So military mindset and civilian mindset, two different things, but you got to let yourself go in the military. You see, mm-hmm. I know you've got your, and this is your show, and I really want to appeal to it, yeah. But I've got to say this about the military. The worst thing about the military, and please listen to the following bit before you find out where I live and come and see me. The worst thing about the military is you leave the military and then you try to fit in with civilian life, okay? Don't. You're far too gifted and skilled to be like normal morons. You know about hard work. You know about being accurate. You know about being timely. You know about consequences. Now, I want to reduce the emotional baggage that goes with a lot of that so that you're quite happy to go. I remember talking to a military man that runs a very, very good mortgage company now. And I said, look, if you make a couple of mistakes, and he said, I don't make mistakes. And I said, look, in the military, you don't want to make mistakes because, again, the problems can be dramatic, okay? But making a mistake when you're doing a mortgage form, means you just print another bloody form. Okay. It's not the same. So you've got to understand that for those people in the military that have left and those people that we're speaking to now, you have a skill set. You were not meant to fit in. You were meant to dominate. Use your skill set. Use your direction. Use your focus. Because I've never met anyone in the military that if I said, hey, I need to do this, and we've got to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning to do it. Now, look, no one wants to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, but they get up, you know? And I remember growing up with my dad, he was a bricklayer. I was not a military man. My dad was a bricklayer. Couldn't be further away from the military. But he would get up at 4 o'clock and we'd drive for like 2 hours to get to the building site that paid the most money and then start work at 6 o'clock. And then at 5 o'clock, in all that rush hour traffic, drive to what would end up being 3 hours to come home, to get home in time to have a shower, eat and go to bed, and then wake up at 4 o'clock again in the morning. And I will openly tell you, I hated my father for that. And I'll be honest with you, I used to ask my mates, we didn't have Google at the time, I used to ask my mates how long they slept during, you know, at night. And my mates were like bikers. They were going to bed at like 12 o'clock at night and waking up at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I honestly thought I was having too short a time in bed and I was going to physically die. I thought to myself, you need to get like 8 or 10 hours sleep or you're going to die. My dad's going to kill me. And I honestly thought that was what was happening. And I remember, and I'll be honest here, being very resentful towards my father for making a 15-year-old and a 16-year-old do that. And then in my early 20s, when I was hustling to get jobs and doing stuff, and now in my 50s, if I've got to get up and speak to a client in Japan or Israel or Australia, and I've got to get up at 4 o'clock, I don't want to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, but I'm prepared to. And I remember in my early 20s, thankfully young enough to kind of be able to slap myself and then go to my dad and tell him this, apologize and thank him for all of the ethics that it taught me. I didn't like it, but I knew what hard work was like. And now I'm not frightened of it. No one wants to do it, but I'm not frightened of it. And there's a difference between wanting to and being prepared to. And the military, you've got it going on. So for a start, thank you very much. But don't try to fit in. You weren't meant to.
That's really, thank you for saying that. You're right, though. We do. We get out and we feel like we have to fit in, and it's so hard.
Don't do it. That mindset. No, don't do it. Don't settle with the other morons of this planet. You know, you've learned a skill set. You've learned focus, belief, commitment. You've learned how to be relied upon. Okay. People don't know how to do that anymore. How many times do you see people now? I've been in places where people literally will turn around and go, we get back to you. And then the other person's walked off and I've gone, oh, do you want to make a note of that? And they're like, we're not going to do that. I'm like, you've just told me you're going to get back to that person. Or you've told that person. And they're like, yeah, you just say these things. And if anyone in my circle ever says that, they're now dead to me. Okay? Mm-hmm. Because I'm not going to associate with people that find that as acceptable. You guys don't. I don't find it acceptable. So stand up high.
Thank you for that. Thank you. So let's get into how do you prioritize what comes first? We want to do all the things. Everything's important.
I've got it for you. I've got it. I've got it for every lesson I've got through life came to me through basically screwing up. Okay. There's an old saying that we get the experience we need 3 seconds after we needed it most. Okay. It's a common thing. As entrepreneurs, we're basically like kids with the toys in a sandpit. We want them all. And they're all taking our distraction and we can't focus on any of them. How many times do you see a kid with 3 toys in front of him? There's one behind him he hasn't played with and you pick it up and all of a sudden he's like, "Ah, no, that's my toy." You know? As entrepreneurs, we're the same as that. I've got a cold going on. We have to train our body, okay? And as entrepreneurs, we're different. You know, we think things differently. We see things differently. We act differently. And we've got to learn how to harness those kind of reactions. So a friend of mine, Joe Polish, did this. He put together, and it was literally a blank piece of paper, and he put a line across the top, and then two bars going down the middle of it. So you got a title bar and three panels, okay? And he had a yes list, a yes in the top bar, a no in the middle bar, and a not now in the far bar, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, we may get an idea like, hey, Steve, I'd like you to get involved and be a spokesman for our hair product line. That's a no, you know? So that goes in the no list. That's very easy. They're not always as clear as that, though, are they? You know, we get offered these kind of opportunities and we're like, yeah, I could do that. I could do that. The trouble is we get fearful that if we don't grab it, we're going to lose it. So if someone says to you, Steve, can you be on a podcast? That's in my yes list. Steve, do you want to be a spokesman for our hair product list, our hair product line? That's a hell no. Okay. Steve, do you want us to help? Do you want to help us market and teach us and train us and coach us on how to market our hair product line? Okay. That I'm going to put in the not now list. Let me look at how my scheduling is to see if I can take you on as a client. So get those three things and have it with you. And the amount of times I will literally be in a meeting and I'll have a little pad there and I'll literally just go, and I'll go, yes, no, not now. And I'll listen to things and I'll just literally put them in different lists, you know, and do it across. There's something that happens to us as entrepreneurs once we've compartmentalized where they're going to go. And when we've gone, yes, that makes it easy, you know? Mm-hmm. Annette, would you like some really stellar guests for your show? Okay. That's a yes. Okay. But if I said to you, would you like to do a show on something that's not your field? You're going to be no, you know? So, you know, on British wines, I don't know, you may like British wine, so that's a bad example. But, you know, if there's something that's not in your wheelhouse, that's a hell no. But if there was some opportunity that I came up, it gives you the chance to relax and go, oh, that sounds really good. Let me get back to you, because you will literally put it on your pad in the not now list, and then you can step back and go, okay, do I have the energy that could benefit from doing this project? And that's when the ROE comes in. If I'm going to exert my energy on that not now list, and then when you're looking at it, you may go, ugh, and that not now list gets emptied. Okay, it gets emptied quite often. And so what you do is you look at it and you go, well, okay, I like that, but I'm not ready yet. Keep it in the not now list. The second one, I don't think I have the energy for this. The return isn't that great. I'm going to make hundreds of bucks rather than thousands. I'm going to shove that in the no list. Okay. And you move it. Thank you very much. I don't have time to take on that project. This one, that's actually a short project. And I already do that on a daily basis. So let's pull this over into the yes list. All right, great. So that's how I've actually done it. And it came from Joe Polish. Understand how your brain works and how you don't have control of it to trigger how to get it in order. And that yes, no, and not now list is a perfect example to do that. I'll give you an example, and it's an age-old game, and it's a joke with you, but sadly, it's very, very true. Annette, how do you make an entrepreneur go bankrupt?
I don't know.
You look at them and you say, I bet you couldn't do this for 10 bucks. Now, as an entrepreneur, what does the entrepreneur focus on in that statement?
The amount of money, the 10 bucks.
No. The accountant would. The entrepreneur focuses on the challenge.
Oh, yes.
And the entrepreneur's there going, oh, he doubts I could do that. He doesn't think I could do it. I'm going to show him I'm going to do that. And then you end up getting it for 10 bucks, you know? So as entrepreneurs, we get caught up in the shiny objects. We get caught up in all of these beautiful titles, names, connections, affiliates. Affiliate deals are the worst because of that, because people go, oh, how would you like to be involved in a deal with, you know, XYZ? And you go, oh my God, I could be involved with him. And they go, yay. He's got this product, and you know, you work on it. And you suddenly find that while you're focusing all that over there, the affiliate deal gives you 2 cents per sale. So you're doing all of this work to push it out because you want to be attached to them. There was an event that I wanted to get involved in, and I did. And it was one of the largest events in the world. And I realized halfway through it that I was plowing a ton of money and energy into this project to actually end up paying for it. You know, I wasn't making any money. I was actually paying to be involved in this event. And I thought, who the hell does that? But I was. So I learned very on after that. You have to start looking at the relationships and just going, okay, put it in the knot now, and then go back to it and start needle picking it to make sure that it's got a good ROE.
I like that. I'm writing that down because I think that's something. It sounds so simple, right? Just to do that. But once you start to look at it and you nitpick each little thing, it makes sense. Yes, no.
Yeah. Or not, yeah. No. It absolutely does.
Thank you for that. Yes, sir. So what would you tell, what takeaway would you want to bring to the listeners right now as we close out this session of Mindset?
Don't overcomplicate. Always, and if I could pick up this computer and drag it into my home office, you would see on my desk, I always have a piece of paper. I write things down and then I type them into the computer as guide, but I write it down first. There's something about the pen and the action that registers it in my head better than me just typing it straight up. Mm-hmm. So I write it down first, but I always have a piece of paper laid profile, you know, laid just landscape wise, and it has those black lines on it just with a Sharpie. Mm-hmm. Yes, no, not now. And I think I had a couple yesterday. I don't think I had any today. But yesterday, one hit the no list straight off the bat, was asked to get involved in a deal. No, bang, straight in there. And then there was another one that was like, sounds a bit curious. I'll come back to it. So I put it in there. So I saw it again today, and I'm kind of like, and then I saw it before I came on with you. And, and that, I think, by the end of the day, is going to find its way over into the yes list. So don't overcomplicate. Okay, this doesn't need a CRM. This needs nothing more than a sheet of paper and a pen. Okay, Sharpie if you like, any color you like, but blank piece of paper, line across the top, two lines, title bars, yes, no, not now, and use it.
Perfect. Thank you so much, sir. Thank you for your time, wealth of knowledge here. Stay tuned for the next part. Thank you. Thank you for listening to the True Sui High podcast, created and founded by your host, Annette, the founder of A Wild Ride Call Life. Also, a big thank you to all of our sponsors for each and every episode that is aired. We have so much support from them and all of our listeners. You can find more information at www.awildridecalllife.com.